listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Blessed. That's the word we hear over and over today. Blessed. Blessed. And, you know, it has so many connotations in our culture, you know, the hashtag blessed. And if you look through them all, you know, most of the time when you see that hashtag, most of the time when you see this, it really is ascribing something that's good. You know, had a great morning with my family eating breakfast together, hashtag blessed. You know, a new life, gave birth to a new child, hashtag blessed. This sense of blessings are in the positive framework is typically how we think of when we think of blessed. Yet on a day like today, first celebrating All Saints, we're remembering those lives and those people that we loved that we've had to say goodbye to in the past year. And it's hard. It's hard in those moments to feel blessed. It's hard to think, well, I'm missing my friend. I'm missing my parent. I'm missing my sibling. I'm missing my child. Blessed. Yet this is the word that Jesus uses in our text today. And I'm thinking about all that we're doing here at Abiding Hope and thinking about what it means then to be blessed. Now, if we were really to only take that connotation of blessed, meaning the positive, the good things, we are blessed here at Abiding Hope. Good things are happening here. I'm excited for the life that we are creating here. I'm excited for our growing student ministry. I'm excited about our family life ministry. I'm excited about the things that are happening here. But if I look at what Jesus calls blessed, I have to reframe and rethink of what it means to be blessed. And in our text today, Jesus, it says that he sees the crowds and they're gathered around and they came for healing and for help. It says he went up the mountain. In Matthew, it's a mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him and he began to speak, teaching them, the disciples, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the reign of God, the kingdom of heaven." To think of being poor in spirit as a blessing, Jesus is beginning to show us that there's another way, another place, another dimension in blessing that maybe we've missed. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn." Who mourn, those today who come on All Saints to mourn the ones they love. For it says, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who are living with less or without, or who struggle or who need help, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who want to see the right thing done, for they will be filled. These first four show us a picture of blessings that aren't typically what we think of as blessings. To say that blessed are those who mourn, well, that is a glimpse of what Jesus does when Jesus talks about reversing and re-understanding and removing the role in which God is turning the world in a new way, helping us rethink and re-see the world as God sees it. You see, if we were to always put ourselves in the mindset that a blessing from God is really only when positive things are happening, then we'd have to say that God's blessings feel scarce with pain that we experience in our lives and the pain we see around in the world. We'd have to ask, well, then what is God doing? Our God is inefficient, ineffective. If blessings are only those things when something good is happening, well, then our God is weak. This isn't the picture that God is showing us. This isn't the image that God is highlighting for us. You see, what God is telling us here is that things happen in the world. Dark things happen. Bad things happen in the world. But hang on. Hold on. The blessing for that person isn't the current circumstance. It is the gift that comes to them in the middle of their mourning, in the middle of being poor in spirit, in their meekness, in their hungering and thirsting for righteousness. The vision and plan of God enters into their pain, into the struggle, into the hard things, and says, be blessed, for you will be comforted. You will receive mercy. You will inherit the earth. Just think about the pictures that we've seen, the videos that we've seen over the last few weeks. We had the story from Kevin, who, when I first heard it, not on the video, Kevin and I were talking in the front of church here at Abiding Hope one Sunday when he told me his story. I had no idea. A son killed, but then the end of the story, where there is peace and something like forgiveness and rest after going through all that pain. The blessing wasn't the pain of losing his son. The blessing came in seeing the vision of God restoring in Kevin's soul a sense of peace, a sense of forgiveness, a sense of grace, and being able to extend that grace and to be that place where grace is extended toward that one who needed to hear it. Holy, blessed. Or Rachel, who said in her time and her video, how could this happen? How could this be? Yet she comes to a place like our community, and it's there that she feels embrace, that she feels like she can open up her story of mourning, the loss of her husband, that she can be her full self here, that she comes to our family life services and expresses exactly what she's thinking and feeling and what she hears from the community that gather around her. Comfort. She's allowed to be here in that place. The blessing that she receives is the vision of God who enters into the hard and difficult and messy places of our lives and speaks a truth that there is good, that there is life, that there is resurrection at the end of the story. That's the blessing. In my own story, there was a time when I had really given up on church. What I experienced, what I felt, probably in some of my own childish cynicism, was an organization that really didn't see the goodness of the world and wanting to see it really fulfilled. Instead, it felt like a club, a committee, a group of people who wanted to gather around and wanted their own needs met and really didn't want to serve the world around them. And instead, so they hunkered down into their buildings. They created a clubhouse for themselves and did not want to live as the vision and people of peace and life and love in the world. That's what I felt in my hard and cynical heart. And so I had left church. I thought I wasn't going to be a pastor anymore. I had put it all down. I thought surely the vision that God has for renewing all things, there must be a better place for that. There must be a more effective place for that than the church. But you, Abiding Hope, you've done something for me. When I was feeling hurt and cynical and in pain, and I had given up on community and people, you called me to be your pastor. And in my 6 years, it's almost 6 years to the day, my first Sunday here was All Saints Sunday. I experienced a different kind of community. You, Abiding Hope, healed in me a sense of what a church can really strive to be. You show up when it's important. You go when you're told it's time to go. You lift one up one another. You care for one another. You make yourself available to be the vessels that God has called to be. See, when I was feeling meek and mourning and in pain and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you were my blessing. Just like you were the blessing for Kevin, who heard through this community a new way of life and grace. Just like you were a place for Rachel that she heard comfort and a place to be her full self and experience good news and life again after death. You resurrected for me a new way of being church. And I can't tell you how much I love being here. I love this church. I love my call. I can't remember being so happy being in a place as I am here right now in this space. And I see what we are trying to do. I see my Family Life Sundays, this committed group of folks who want to thrive and grow, who want to gather around parents, who are looking for a way to support one another as parents, as faithful parents, and grow into that. A safe place for guardians and grandparents to come and bring their littles and say, we're looking for a place that we can care and show life and love for our kids. And I see that community growing and growing over the next couple of years. I see it becoming a light on a hill. I see it becoming a star in the night for the people in this community who are overstressed, overworked, who are pushed to the brink and need a place for rest, solace, and support. I see that. I see in our student ministry the people who are coming in who felt bruised and battered by other communities who told them that they didn't work enough, they didn't pray enough, they didn't do enough in order for God to love them. They were told they couldn't hang out with other kids. They could only hang out with Christians and only with the people in their community. And I see people who are from the queer community joining our community, and for maybe the first time in their life, they're hearing that they are loved, that they are celebrated, and that the God of life is throwing their arms around them. I see our student ministry growing because of this church, Abiding Hope. I see so much good happening in our community, and I hear the stories that you are sharing with one another in this place about how you have experienced hardship, that you're mourning, that you're distressed, and that people here have lifted up and celebrated you. You, in your hard time, just like me, were blessed by a community that comforted, that walked with, that supported. Maybe it's been a while since you've really thought about what it means to be in a community that wants to strive, not perfectly, not exceptionally, strive for the greater things, to do the greater things. Maybe it's been a while since you've been in this space, in this building, and you've seen the blessings of teachers and kids and the blessing that we've been to those teachers, and the teachers have been blessings to the kids. Maybe it's just been a while that you've forgotten how blessed we are to have this community. I want to remind you of that today. This space is beautiful, and it's doing good work, work that's not happening everywhere else. So maybe it's a day to count your blessings, to sit back and say, I was hungry and someone fed. I was thirsty, someone gave me to drink. I was mourning and someone comforted me. I was lost and a community embraced me. I was drowning in anger and a community forgave me. And maybe it's time to remind yourself and to recommit yourself to that vision of the blessing that this place is. The reason I can be here is because you have supported this community to bring me onto this place. The reason we can do these things is because we've created a whole new space for these families to gather. The reason we do this is because you generously give so that our students can have experiences where love and life win, and that God is breaking down all walls. And that's because of your gifts. This isn't about the lights. This isn't about the pews. This is about the life that we are able to give and grow and thrive in this place because we stand up for one another and we say, blessed are those who mourn, for we are here to comfort. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for you in this place will see God. Blessed are you who are meek, for in this place you are known to inherit the earth. And blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness here and in Haiti and in India and on Pine Ridge. Blessed are you, for you shall see God. Next week, when you come forward with your commitment and you're thinking about what kind of life we want to grow and thrive here, I want you to think about those blessings. Not the blessings of the good things, but the times in which you were hurting and you were blessed by given comfort and life and love. And then commit with us to this vision that I see in front of us so that we can go forward hand in hand as people blessed in the life to come, but especially in this life. If you'll pray with me. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, on paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. In the name of love, whose name is Jesus. Amen.